Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie, man, episode 174, man. It's your guy, Scott and Dante, back. If my voice sounds a little fucked up, it's because it is, nigga. I'm a little bug right now. I don't know what the fuck it is, but a little bug. I had like a ridiculous head cold like the entire fucking weekend. And you know when a cold or whatever is leaving your system, but like the last day, like you coughing like a motherfucker and shit. So I'm sitting here recording as I'm waiting for my fucking cough drops that I fucking ordered on Amazon Prime because I'm too fucking lazy to walk to fucking CVS.
That's crazy. How far is CVS from your house? But don't say a block, nigga.
Nah, it's about like a half a mile, but it's raining like a motherfucker.
So if it wasn't raining,
I just walked my ass over there or to the gas station up here. But I don't know if anybody's been in Los Angeles rain. It's much different. When it rains in L.A.,
it rains.
It don't just drizzle, nigga. It's like monsoon shit. So I'm not finna be, you know, already sick and not going to fucking water, nigga, and come with some cough drops. Nah. So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna order that shit on Amazon. So that shit'll be in a minute. But anyway, we back. Episode 174. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershop Scott at October Zone Tay. Follow the Barbershop Net on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershop Net. Visit the bcnet.com. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/barbershop network. Didn't have anything to drop on the Patreon last week due to scheduling. And also, we was like, man, we know this last episode of BMF was bullshit, so we just going to talk about the last two. So we actually recording that after this. So by the time you listen to this, we will have the recap of the final two episodes of BMF. Me and Dante will be back next week, though. We will be reviewing Succession, finally. A good television show is coming back on TV, so we'll be reviewing that starting next week. And the whole game, me, Pav, Bang, and Merc will be back this week for an episode of Summer Sessions, which will be dropping Thursday. So look out for that. But we are here to talk basketball, man. It is Tuesday, March 21st as we're recording this. We are about approximately 3 weeks away from the start of the NBA's play-in tournament. I don't want to say WNBA, but the NBA's play-in tournament.
I'm saying, nigga, I know you don't watch the WNBA.
Let's relax. Nah, I don't. I don't watch this shit. I'm not even going to cap. You know I don't watch that shit. I support it, but I don't watch that shit. But, but anyway, I was going to say something, but I forgot we went on Summer Session. But anyway, so we are about 3 weeks away from the play-in tournament. I feel like every night the different seedings are going, you know, back and forth. 1 minute you could be a team in fourth place, next minute you're a 10th. And that's really what it's been up and down in the Western Conference. Not so much in the East. We'll get into standings later on in the show. We're going to make a prediction on how we think the top 20 seeds are going to finish, you know, 10 in the East, 10 in the West. But let's get into this MVP race that has suddenly become a race out of nowhere. The award that it looked like Nikola Jokic had on lock. And even something I said on Twitter about 10 days ago, I was like, nah, we got to start acting like he ain't going to win that. I'm not so sure anymore. I am not so sure anymore. I think this has become a legitimate three-man race. I still think Jokic is in the lead. They've gone through a little mid-season slump right now, which is expected. But Embiid, man, the Sixers have been playing good ball up until last night when the Bulls finally fucking beat them. And shout out to the Bulls defense. I saw that score and I was like, nigga, that's 109, 107 in like double overtime. And I didn't know the Bulls had the second best defense in the NBA since the beginning of the new year. So there's one little small positive Bulls thing we'll talk about with that. Embiid's been killing. We know you're anti anything Jerry Reinsdorf right now. I still support my team, but even though I hate them motherfuckers, I'm still watching. I'm part of the problem.
Hey, y'all got it.
You know, Dante's not bullshitting, by the way. He actually is not gonna watch these. And actually, I'm be real, I haven't watched the games either. Like I caught second overtime last night, but I have not watched the full Bulls game. It's been a minute. Yeah. I can't remember the last Bulls game I watched.
And let's be clear. That's why I really keep my, you know, criticism to a minimum. You know, I focus it on Jerry Reinsdorf. I don't really sit here and trash the team because, you know, I'm not watching. So, you know, I see what's been going on. You know, Pat Bev added a little spark. You know, I've seen the plays and things like that. But, no, as far as supporting the Jerry Reinsdorf own team, I will not do it.
9-4 record since Pat Bev joined.
Not on duty. I can't do it. So, I'm a you know, if they make the playoffs, I'll be obligated. I'll be forced to watch because that'll be the only team playing basketball on television. But other than that, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do it. I ain't going to let the White Sox steal my joy. You know, I got Michael Harris the second in center field for the Atlanta Braves. A lot of that this year.
So you're not watching no White Sox games?
I mean, with the new schedule, I do want to see how they do because it's going to prove my
point. It's going to prove my point
to y'all. That's a very mediocre ball club. So,
I mean, who's disagreeing with you, though?
I mean, Oscar Colas has looked good, you know, in spring training. Hopefully he makes a big league roster. I think he did. I think he will. But no, not giving any of my energy to Jerry Reinsdorf.
You know what would be the most, and we're gonna stop ranting about our teams in a minute, but you know what would be the most White Sox Jerry Reinsdorf shit?
What?
Nobody has no expectations of these niggas, and they come out hot.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
They come out hot, and then they get everybody hooked for the second half, and they fall off a fucking cliff. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm gonna be just like that Al Pacino scene in was that Heat where he said just when I was out, they pulled me back in. And I'm gonna sit my dumb ass up here and be like, you know what? You know they might do something. They finally healthy, start sounding like Kenny Williams, and then shit gonna go left.
Then around the time we getting ready for Bears training camp, we gonna be like my girl from next Friday. Her name is escaping me right now. She told Baby Z, "Nah, see, I done told your ass." That's gonna be everybody when we see them falter, man. But enough of us lamenting about our teams. Let's talk about these three, MVP candidates, man. What do you think about this race? And do you think the gap has gotten a little closer?
Yeah, bro. I'm sitting here looking at the numbers, and it is a legitimate race because you not only do you have three people who are performing at an elite level, you have three really good teams. Like I think. The Nuggets, you know, right now they are the one seed in the West, so they are one of the favorites to come out of the West. I know we keep waiting on the Warriors to get healthy. We don't know if Andrew Wiggins is coming back. You know, chances are, I know you said, you know, you said it was a middle of the season slump, but they've played 71 games, so, you know, this bitch is almost over. So we're at a point now where what you see is what you get, and with these three, you know, they've really carried their teams. And I think when Giannis is – that old saying we keep hearing, voter fatigue, where, you know, he's been elite, he's been great, but now, you know, the Bucks, he's really carried that ball club, you feel me? Especially with Chris Middleton being out at the beginning of the season, but he's been amazing. Like I said, I got the numbers right here. Giannis is averaging 31, 11 rebounds, 11.9, so pretty much 12, and 5.6 assists on 54% shooting, bro. That shit is crazy. Embiid is averaging 33 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists on 54% shooting. And then you got the Joker averaging 11.9, so 12, and 9.9 assists. So averaging a triple-double out the center spot. I think with the other two playing so great that he's going to have to, you know, average a triple-double on the season in order to get that third straight MVP award. But other than that, I do think that with the season winding down, Philly has to win some more games just because I think it'll be hard to give it to Embiid as much as people want to just, you know. I think at this point, people are like whining about Embiid not winning one. Like, it's one thing to still, you know, say he was robbed, and I don't think he was really robbed. You know, he's coming second in years. He's came in second. But, you know, it's gotten really ridiculous. So we know those people in the media who actually have a vote, who have been saying that type of shit, they're going to vote for Embiid. But I do think it's definitely a competition now.
Yeah, I think, and also Embiid has been part of that, not this year, but in the past, Embiid has been part of that complaining about the MVP. I think the thing that Jokic just got to do, and by the way, I still think that, I still think when everything's said and done, Jokic will still be MVP. Because I just don't see a way that they give it to Giannis. I just think, like you said, voter fatigue. It should not be a thing. Michael Jordan should have more than 5 MVPs. LeBron James should have more than 4 MVPs. Kobe Bryant should damn sure have more than 1 MVP. Shaquille O'Neal should damn sure have more than 1 MVP. So we know voter fatigue is real. And look at the thing. Giannis was averaging like 44 points in the month of March.
It's been ridiculous.
They went on like a 17-game win streak. And they went from like being fourth seed in the Eastern Conference to being not only the number one seed in the East, but number one seed in basketball, and have a 3-game lead in the loss column over the Celtics. Who, I mean, like I keep telling people, y'all can let Jason Tatum keep fooling y'all, nigga. Y'all keep falling for the little cool ass moves he be doing, and y'all keep falling for Joe Mazzulla being able to do what I could do, nigga. We can all damn near coach that Celtics team. We gonna really see just what kind of good coach he is come playoff time, as I've been saying on this podcast for weeks. But to me, the only way that I see Jokic losing it, like you said, Embiid's got to win some more games. Now, as constructed right now, they are 3 games behind the Milwaukee Bucks. They've got like one more game with them left that I think is going to be crucial. This is just how people vote. Not saying it's right, not saying it's wrong. But the only non-top two seed we've ever seen win an MVP, really non-number one seed ever win an MVP, you have to do some historical shit like motherfucking Russell Westbrook when he averaged triple-double in 2016. Yep. And 9 times out of 10, Jokic is going to average that triple-double this season. They got to somehow find a way to supplant the Milwaukee Bucks as the number one seed. Now, it's not impossible, but when 10 games left, it ain't looking like that's going to happen. And unfortunately, Embiid is going to be asked out because that's just how it looks. But this is something right now that I feel like it's not a foregone conclusion. And I think it's really just about how the voters view the other two candidates more than Jokic. I don't think Jokic really has to do anything more than what he's been doing. Maybe on a little slump, but as of right now, they still got like a 4-game lead up on Memphis and a 5-game lead on Sacramento. They're not blowing that. They're going to be number one seed. Yeah. In the Western Conference.
Yeah, and I think if Philly, which I think they will, if they jump the Celtics in the standings and end up set as that number two seed, and the B continues to do what he does, I think he really has a shot. Because I also think another thing that plays against Giannis sometimes is like a lot of people start to split hairs. We mentioned voter fatigue, but they start splitting hairs because of the way he gets his buckets. And that's something I've never really liked. Like, if you're giving me 30, 33 a game, I don't give a fuck how you get them.
Bro, it's stupid. Like, I'm fine. A lot of NBA fans don't like the NBA. Yeah, no, a lot of basketball fans don't like basketball. That's what I mean.
Yeah, especially when he's pretty efficient. You feel me? So, like, I think it's really crazy. But I think that also plays against him sometimes. But I think overall, like, I agree with what you said. The Joker, it's still his MVP to lose.
Yeah, and these are the same people that would have complained about watching Shaq back in the day. Like, oh, Shaq don't do number dunk on niggas. Like, that is the same shit. And, like, you know, if it works, don't fix it. And it's not like, you know, Giannis can't hit a little corner jump shot. Giannis can hit a jump shot. Giannis can shoot a three every now and then. You just can't fuck with this nigga. That's just really what it comes down to. And it's like Giannis comes off as, like, you know, it's the thing I noticed that a lot of people don't like when a player comes off like he's perfect. And that's why a lot of people don't like Steph Curry. Oh, he's got the all-American image and shit. Like, the biggest myth that marketing has sold to you, that Under Armour has sold to you, that media sold to you, is that you can be like Steph Curry. No, the fuck you cannot. You could be in the gym all goddamn day. He is not some 5'8", from a school we ain't never heard of. He was like a late first-round pick. No. You know, so, like, that is not the case. This nigga, not only was he in the NCAA tournament, he had, I know a lot of y'all niggas is young, and I'm keep saying this. I saw somebody act like Young Jock had one hit, and that was like, oh, we need an age limit on this fucking app. Look, man, not only Steph Curry was that nigga, and I feel like I'm going on a tangent, but I'm going to bring it back here. Just let me clear out the lane real quick. Steph Curry was very popular when he was at Davidson. LeBron James would come to his games. Kevin Durant would come to his games. Russell Westbrook, it was a big thing because he was coming from this school that not a lot of people heard of and took him big. This nigga was a number 7 draft pick. He's a lottery pick. He's not some little engine that could. This nigga is 6'3". I've been around Steph multiple times. I was around him last week. This nigga's not small. There's nothing small about this nigga. Like, he has a God-given gift. You can shoot in the fucking gym all day. You're never going to shoot like him. Period. So the same thing with Giannis. And with him, it's like Steph, he's got the beautiful wife. They've been boyfriend, girlfriend since high school. You know, he's got the perfect kid. You know, he got a nice little American family. So people think he's perfect and they find things to go into. Same thing about Giannis. Look at Giannis' story. They made a fucking Disney movie out of it. Literally made a Disney movie out of it. And now it's like, oh, Giannis is corny. Like, they're just looking for something to get mad about him. Some of these fake humble and shit like that. Have you met immigrant parents? Have you met people who are not from America? No, that's just how this nigga is. I truly believe this nigga is just thankful for everything he's got. So they nitpick little things. Like, oh, well, he's not even that nice. I think any Giannis complaint you had, and rightfully so, remember the way Kawhi hold this nigga in 2019, he shut all that up 2 years ago to the point where I feel very confident they're going to win the NBA championship this year. Again, So it's like you're going to find little things to nitpick Giannis to the point where I don't even think voters are going to look at him. And I think, like what you said, if to me, Embiid gives himself a chance if he can at least pass Boston. I think passing Milwaukee, probably not going to happen with 10 games left. But if he can pass Boston, he can at least get the voters to think, maybe we should give it to this guy.
Yeah, bro, that's really what it's going to take at the end of the day. And I agree, because my thing with the Bucks, bro, like I said, I don't want to say it's the small market thing, because now we're at a point where the game is global. So everybody sees Giannis. He is one of the guys they put on national TV all the time. So I think it's going to, like you said, come down to a point where how do they finish? Who finishes the strongest team-wise? Because that's one thing that, even though it's an individual award, this is back to the damn near back to the original, you know, OG transcript of how we used to pick our MVPs. Like, who's going to be the one seed? Who has the best stats on the one seed?
I think it needs to go back to how the NFL grades. Even though I don't like how the NFL does, because we all know MVP is a fucking quarterback award. But at least in NFL, they have offensive player of the year. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, if you want to be real about it, it should just be like how the Major League Baseball picks MVP.
Yeah.
Who had the best fucking stats? That's really what it should be. But at the same time, I understand, too, because you're not MVP if your team is trash.
But I disagree with that team. Winning is a team stat, bro. Like, especially
but basketball is the most individually influenced game out of all the three, though.
Because that is true. But at the same time, it's still like if my team is ass or subpar, and in this case with these three, that's not the case. We see that.
Of course, like,
you know. But with, like, if that's like they're gonna drag you down, bro.
Well,
like,
here's the comparison.
Like, hold on. It's like when people use I don't like using win loss stats for a lot of shit no more. The way we can track everything, like, no, because like if I'm going crazy and you fuck up, like, how's that my L, bro?
I agree, but like everybody know I'm a big fucking Kobe guy. Like, I have a picture of Kobe in my house, right next to Michael Jordan. I'm not one of the niggas who thought Kobe should have won MVP in 05. You can't be a seventh seed and be MVP. I'm sorry. Like, I was one of the niggas who thought it should have went to Shaq. I was in that camp, but. Like, oh, how Kobe not win in 05? Like, look, man, look, he did a lot with that terrible-ass roster. They got Smush Parker, Chris Mims, Lamar Odom. LL was great. I'm not here to shit on Lamar Odom. Lamar Odom, a very important piece of those two Lakers championship teams.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't be 7th seed win MVP. I feel like the absolute lowest you could be is, like, 5th, in my opinion. But there needs to be a way, and I feel like even with this, as we wrap this conversation up, it's a regular season war. I feel like we have to keep saying that now. Playoffs ain't got shit to do with it. Now, like I said, NBA don't do itself any favors by presenting that shit during the conference finals, but it's regular season war.
Yeah, that's you know, as time is going on, people have just found new things to complain about with the game. It's just like people who want to shorten the season. Like, certain shit is just silly. Like, we all know this is a regular season award. Like, so I don't give a fuck if you get swept in the first round. Like, yeah, that's still the MVP of the regular season. Like,
right.
The award is the regular season MVP award. Like,
it's gonna be the playoff MVP. When the conference final trophy they got now,
they should have named the MVP some other shit and named the playoff MVP the Michael Jordan Award. Like, they should have made a playoff MVP.
Well, they have it for each conference. Like, remember the last year they got the West is the Magic Johnson Award.
Like John Havlicek or some shit.
No, it's not Havlicek. Havlicek is the sixth man. Who the fuck is the fact that we don't know it tells you the problem.
They just introduced like 62 new awards. So,
yeah,
like, I
mean, Jason Tatum was the Eastern Conference playoff MVP last year, and Steph was the West.
Okay,
and remember the Finals MVP is named after Bill Russell.
Okay, yeah, I do know. I did see that,
which is funny because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has the most Finals MVPs, but whatever. Yeah, and then
he was the old nigga handing the trophy out. So,
well, yeah, and I have no problem with that because Michael Jordan had him
respectfully, of course. Respectfully, of course. Yeah,
yeah, respect. I love Bill Russell. Bill Russell is. I'm one of the niggas who fight for Bill Russell being in top tens. I'm sorry, like I respect the game. He should be in. He's not. He's a 10, but he in that motherfucker.
Put him in Legends Pantheon or leave him there.
He's in the 10, bro. Like, you're not.
We don't even rank them. That's just like when they were like, you didn't see what John Havlicek. I don't care what John Havlicek did, bro. Like, I don't give a fuck.
I don't really care about any basketball prior to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but I just can't shit on 11 championships.
I'll be on my JJ Redick shit, man. I'm not trying to hear that. Like,
yeah, but JJ Redick, a nigga who can't talk. Like, you know, I love Redick too.
No, but he make a lot of valid points. Like the racism shit was wrong as hell. The racism shit was crazy, but he white, so I wasn't shocked.
I'm just saying, even like with the era thing, like who was he was talking about
Oh yeah, we talking about Larry Bird and stuff.
He's talking about Jerry West. Like Jerry West would bust your ass. You like let's stop, G. Jerry West would bust JJ Redick ass. Like, let's stop.
It was funny when he said John Havlicek would see Kyrie dribbling with his left hand and probably pass out on the court. Like,
yeah, that's true. But that's also the problem when it comes to comparing eras. John Havlicek's probably Kyrie in the 60s.
Yeah, but I'm gonna say that's the main thing. Like, people play based on the era they grew up in. Yeah. Like if LeBron played
in 30 years, think about LeBron James played with plumbers.
Yeah, exactly. That's just some corny shit people say on the internet. But like, if LeBron grew up back in, you know, the 90s and he played with them, he would play a physical style of basketball.
Right.
He would have been a different type of player.
Prime example, when I'm saying this, we move on. Victor Wembanyama, look at this nigga. I've seen Rudy Gobert in person. That is a tall ass nigga. And he towers over that motherfucker. He's 7 feet shooting three. That's the evolution of the game right there.
Yeah, it's gonna be a whole bunch of KDs walking around.
Yeah,
you see Chet Holmgren, he back, you know, he back from injury. He's working out with OKC. When they add him with Shea, like you said, that's another 7 foot sniper. Like the game is changing.
Free Shea, get that nigga out of OKC, man. But let's move on, man. This next topic is actually a conversation I saw on Twitter. One of the few insightful conversations I saw on Twitter. I think it was HP Basketball who tweeted it. And we were talking about Paul George has a new podcast. I have no problem with athletes having podcasts. I just wish they would save that shit for the offseason. But that's neither here nor there. PG was on this podcast, and he said that – talked about the Pacer fans that boo him when he come to Indianapolis. And he said, oh, it's all love. I put up banners there. Everybody with the brain is like, what the fuck is he talking about? What banners have the Indiana Pacers and their entire fucking history put up? When we thought about it, this nigga's talking about division banners. Now, he has no shame for bringing that up. And it brought up the question, why don't we value NBA division championships the way MLB does, the way NFL does? You know, you get t-shirts, niggas celebrate in the locker room for both the NFL and the MLB. Everybody want to know what to say. And I say the reason is, the NBA doesn't really have a lot of divisional play. It's not a race. You don't really get nothing special for winning the Central. It's still, you know, really all the records are like mainly, you know, all the standings are basically just purely on records. So my question to you is, do you think the NBA should focus more on more divisional games? Like the Bulls play the Bucks maybe like 12 times a season, or the Pacers 12 times a season, and you have more of an emphasis on that, and maybe you make it as in you win your division, you get a top four seed like that? Yeah. Or do you think the NBA is just one of them leagues where it's just like, it's just not ever gonna matter?
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever really matter to the NBA. I think if you did it, you would have to do something with the seeding to make it matter, to put more emphasis on winning your division, which would lead to more division games. But at the same time, you don't want to run into the problem that, and it, I guess it wasn't a problem, they just decided to change it. But Major League Baseball, where you had a terrible ass division like the AL Central, where you got all those teams playing each other 14 times a year. You feel me? And like, this is just it waters down the product, in my opinion. So like, I think with the NBA, they got a good format, but I think another way to enhance the luster of a division championship would be to have more emphasis on the season. Because I mean, at the end of the day, you know, winning is hard. That shit not easy. Like, I'm not. We know we come. You know, I think the NBA, more than any other sport, has been infected by that whole rings culture conversation. I think I was just watching the Shaq doc.
And we're going to get into that later in this episode.
Yeah. I was watching the Shaq doc, and Magic, he sat down, and he was like, he said, with me, Larry, and Michael sit down, what you think we talking about? How many championships you have? And, you know, that conversation, which, in my opinion, should be reserved for the greatest of the great, has been spread to everybody. And it's like, that's not how the game works. It's only going to be one winner. Don't get me wrong, you want to win. But with it being a team sport, with it being, you know, so many other things that, you know, come into play, it's not like tennis or golf where we can say, okay, you were out there and you did that shit by yourself. That's not how sports work. And so, like I said, basketball has really been infected with that mentality. So you get a guy like PG, who, like you said, has won multiple division titles. You know, that's an accolade. That's something he accomplished. That's something that
Paul
he
George
should.
Got to be one of the most oblivious stars on planet Earth. Like, he has zero chance.
He has his own world. But I mean, I think.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I ain't gonna say that. But no, I really think that just at the end of the day, like, when you're doing something that's that difficult and you're one of the elite, you're gonna try to hang your hat on every little accomplishment you got. He maybe shouldn't have said this shit out loud, you know, because, you know, based off what people were gonna say. But at the end of the day, that's how you feel. That's how you feel.
He could have kept it simple. Hey man, I took it to a couple conference finals. It's all up. You ain't gotta say banners, nigga. Banners don't count unless you win that motherfucker. And I actually want to bring the ring culture come. We actually gonna talk about that after this. We're gonna bring that up in the rundown. But How many games did the MLB drop this year? Like, it's how many division games is it now? I know that you said they cut some of them.
It's just a competitively balanced schedule. I don't have the exact numbers, but every team plays every team now. It wasn't like
that. Yeah, but they still play the division more.
Yeah. No, and you still have your division game, so you're still gonna want to win your division, but it's not as many games. I think I got so sick of watching the White Sox play the fucking Detroit Tigers, bro. Like, we used to watch that shit every other week. They were playing each other. So it's not going to be like that this season.
I was wondering why the White Sox going to be in L.A. twice this year. I was looking at the schedule. I'm like, damn, you niggas is in Dodger Stadium and Angel Stadium this year?
Yeah.
So I would not be going to Angel Stadium. I would be seeing them at Dodger Stadium. But, this is what I think. I'm actually down for it. Now, this is not nothing that the NBA has brought up or even a real part of conversation. This is a Twitter conversation yet. I'd be cool with that because I feel like the NBA has a competition problem. I feel like there's got to be a way to make the regular season more competitive. And the NBA does a lot of bad things that doesn't help that. Remember during football season, where these niggas intentionally did not schedule NBA on TNT till after the fucking Super Bowl. Now, after Thursday Night Football is over. Yeah. Now, they done took their whole crew on March Madness. There's no NBA TNT games to the last week of the season. There's no ABC primetime games for the rest of the year. They're done off that.
Yeah.
So now all these great primetime matchups we were getting for weeks are gone. So I feel like there's got to be a way to make the league more competitive. And I feel like there's more of an emphasis on divisional games. It would help. It would mean more rivalries. I would care more about Tyrese Halliburton going to the Pacers. You got to play these niggas 12 times a year. You know what I'm saying? I would care more about that. Now, I do think, even though the MLB decreased the number of division games, if you win your division, you're still a top three seed. Mm-hmm. Now, the order of that is going to be based strictly off record, but you should be guaranteed something by winning your division, just like in football. So I feel like that would help a little bit. I don't think there's ever going to be a time that we're going to see that because Adam Silver is pussy. And he's not going to do that. And he's the whipping boy for the players, whatever them niggas say he do. So I do think that would be something that would be competitive to make the regular season feel more competitive than it is. And, you know, like you said, bringing less games don't mean nothing because niggas still going to take off even if it's 71 games.
Yeah, no, less games makes absolutely no sense. But there has to be a way to make that, you know, a bigger emphasis. And I think when you do that, the fans would appreciate division titles more. Like, one thing, you know, every time I go to the Braves Stadium, they have a banner for every year they won the division. And we all know how many they won. So, like, when you look around the stadium, it's 30 fucking division titles. Like, you know, it lets people know that you do have, a tradition there. Because I think, you know, Winning is multifaceted. You know, obviously the championship is the ultimate pinnacle, but there's other ways to win. And we just, because fans, like you said, are so caught up in rings culture, we quick to shit on people when they don't win a ring. It's like, yeah, you did all this, you did all that. Like, even with Aaron Rodgers, I do not like Aaron Rodgers, not a fan. But, I mean, he won a lot of football games. You know, he did a lot of great things on the football field.
Oh,
like,
yo, that shit. That nigga, we NFC Championship game. That is on him.
And we
watched them games. That is on him.
Yeah, but that is all him. At the end of the day, that's true. But that's just another part of the conversation. But it don't take away from the great shit. Yeah, exactly. You got a championship to do. Yeah, that's difficult to do.
Look, this is my thing. This perfect segue into ring culture. First of all, I hate the term ring culture because I live not just my – now, I'm not an athlete. I feel like – I truly believe, God, and I'm not bullshit when I tell y'all this. I tell my mama this. I done told mad people this. I truly believe God didn't give me height or athletic ability because he knew that I would talk more shit than Deion Sanders. It would have been just a ridiculous level because I truly believe in the words – of the one and only Herman Edwards, you play to win the game. Now, do I think that if you don't win a championship, that you are not a great player? No. I think that is stupid. Charles Barkley is no less of a player for not winning a championship. Having said that, he can't sit in the same room as a Hakeem Olajuwon or a Tim Duncan or a David Robinson because, like Magic Johnson said, the rings are going to be sat on the table. And I think when comparing great players, when there's a distance, like let's just say we have Shaq or Hakeem, right? These two are not that far off from each other. What's the thing that takes the one over the other? Shaq had a three-peat. Shaq won four championships. That is the thing that takes you over the top when it comes to these kind of debates. Now, these are just debates, you know what I'm saying? And great players, this thing also that be killing me. And I got this from watching Dame Lillard's interview with JJ Redick, which is a great interview. And I love Dame, even though Dame's shtick is getting a little old to me because he's not even trying to win a championship. I feel like if Dame was just getting there all the time and it just wasn't happening, people wouldn't be on his ass like that. Just come out and say you on your Bradley Beal shit. I like getting the money and I really don't give a fuck about it. And I feel like I would respect him more.
But I can't say Dame not trying because I mean Dame is going crazy. His team is ass. Like his he.
What,
he,
what he's I mean foolish. By not trying is if he really wants to win the championship, he would get the fuck up out of there. I don't think he cares that much.
Yeah, I think that goes back to you know what my original point is that for some people like the championship, it's in another aspect of winning, but it's not the end all be all. So
true. That's but then you can't get mad at the fan and say ring culture. When 10, 15 years from now, niggas gonna be talking about you like talking about Adrian Dantley.
But but you already know. Like, I think with athletes at the end of the day, and we see this come out a lot on, you know, podcasts that are hosted by athletes, it's just they have the mindset where, like, you can't do this shit, so who are you to even talk to me about it? So I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying for a lot of times when we have those conversations, I feel like for them, it's gonna fall on deaf ears when you say that type of shit.
Yeah, but that's why I disagree, because I feel like it's bullshit. I feel like they actually care. I mean, JJ Redick said on this episode, he said, I'm not going to lie to you. It eats me up inside that I retire with no championship. He said he cared about it. How come every time Charles Barkley, they bring up Charles Barkley, you ain't got no damn championship? All the fucking time. Now, I feel like Chuck finally got the peace with it now, but I don't believe it's all. It's like when niggas, it's, to me, the prime example is like niggas with no money always talking about, oh, you know, money ain't everything. You know, one of them, oh, You'll be fine with that. Yeah, it's only the niggas who have the money say that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, and man, I'm not just specifically piling on Dame, but Dame is kind of like, oh, I want to be here in Portland, and that's fine. I respect it. You can shut the fuck up about it, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not one of them things, and I feel like, also, fans are going to say dumbass shit. Fans are going to say dumb shit, whatever, and I don't feel like, you know, that should be, I just don't like the term ring culture because it kind of feels like we're devaluing what it means to win a championship. You're not playing for the championship. What the fuck are you playing for? That's just how I look at it.
No, I mean, that sounds good, but at the same time, a team, you can come into the season being realistic and know your team ain't got no shot at winning. 100%. So I think to your point about rings culture, that the NBA has it the worst. I think with the NFL and, you know, Major League Baseball, it's not as bad. It's not as bad, especially when you see with Major League Baseball, when you see players who win multiple MVP awards and, you know, never win a World Series, you know. You know,
I mean, Barry Bonds. Sound Mike Trout, though.
Yeah, like Barry Bonds, steroids and no steroids, you know, it's considered the GOAT. Mike Trout, you know, it's funny. Like they said, you got Mike Trout versus Shohei in the World Baseball Classic, and neither one of them have been to the playoffs together. And they play on the same fucking team. But baseball is especially, it's one of those sports where you can't really have rings culture because there's so many moving parts, bro. You got nine players. You got five starting pitchers now, but the bullpen, the way they use the bullpen, you got DHs in both leagues. It's so many different, different things that add up to winning the championship. So it's not as heavy, but with basketball, and I mean, I say this all the time, a lot of people have been infected by Skip Bayless and that shit, and just the whole PTI culture of sports journalism these days, where everything is just an argument and a debate. And so now it's just like, well, I got more of this, I got more of that. And we always talk about people cherry picking stats for arguments. It's just gotten pretty fucking ridiculous.
I mean, it's the 50 Cent thing. It's like, niggas ain't know about record sales for 50 Cent. Like, you know, so I feel like it's the same thing with that. People are like, well, you sold more records. Like, what the fuck they got to do with who music better? But to me, I feel like why it's different in basketball, because basketball, just unlike them too, the individual can influence shit more than anybody. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, there's been any individual who, quote unquote, won it by himself. I mean, you know, them, you know, Dirk probably was the closest one who, quote unquote, won it by himself. Even then, that Mavs team was fucking stacked. He just didn't have another Super Bowl. So not Super Bowl, superstar with him. But I feel like with baseball, it's a team thing. Like you said, you can be as cold as Mike Trout. It don't fucking matter. Well, football matters for quarterbacks. Like, imagine if Dan Marino just had one or two. Conversation would be completely different, because he's putting up Pat Mahomes numbers in the 80s. So yeah. I feel like it can go both ways. I just personally don't like it as where, and I see people say that, oh, it's doing too much and you're taking away from great players. I agree with that. Yeah. But you still want to win the championship. Like at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. You win it.
Yeah, no, you absolutely want to win, but I still think at the end of the day, even I'm glad you mentioned quarterback, because that's another one of those positions that, like, I think quarterback
is, win is not a stat, people.
It's not that is 100% not a stat with fucking 33 motherfuckers on the field. That's not a stat. Yeah. But when you look at it, it's what you're saying, that it's not a stat. At the same time, when we go into the GOATs, we start, you know, nitpicking hairs. Yeah. The ring argument comes up. But like my point is to a guy like, you know, don't get me wrong, not coming through in clutch moments does matter, but when you're consistently put in positions where it's going to be difficult for you to do that, a la Tony Romo, because, like, you do have a fumble in Seattle, he'll never live that
Tony
down.
Tony Romo fucked up a couple times.
Yeah, you know, he had the fumble in Seattle, you won't live that down. But first of all, why is your starting quarterback the holder? That's dumb as fuck. That's number one. Two, if I'm putting up 30, 35, and you're giving up 42, like, shit like that, backbreaking, like, because the Cowboys had a lot of losses, but they had a lot of losses where, like, he would lead them down the field and they would blow that shit. That's kind of like how Matt Ryan, when you look at Matt Ryan, he has some of those deceptive stats where he has all those fourth quarter comebacks. It's like, yeah, because their defense was ass.
Yeah, so but you, like, also got moments like this nigga throwing the ball into the end zone to R.W. McCorders in the NFC Championship game when you was 13-3.
I'm saying you have those moments but like, I think with quarterback, they get the most praise and the most hate. And football is one of those sports where it's really not fair for the quarterback.
No,
like, it's not. It's crazy. But at the same time, if you ain't got no quarterback, you ain't got nobody. Like,
but also,
he done out there.
Right, exactly. Tom Brady, Michael Jordan make it look like it was easy. Like, that is also the issue. Yeah. They made it look like it was easy. Six championships in 8 years. Was wild in the 90s, and that shit ain't happening again. I'm gonna be real. I don't think we've seen a three-peat ever again.
Yeah, bro,
there's too much roster movement.
It's just like, this is one of those moments where age definitely plays a factor, because we just simply haven't seen enough sports for people to make some of the comments that they make. And that's one of the times why I do, even though I think we all know old heads wild out a lot, but this is sometimes I do like talking to them and they talking about championships and things like that. Because, like, to your point, we've really seen a cluster of champions in every sport, and that shit is weird. That shit don't happen. And I forgot who it was, but he was talking about, he said, you know who I really feel bad for? He said that 28-year-old sports fan from Boston who's seen nothing but championships their entire fucking life. Because when it gets dark, it's gonna get dark. And, like, then you sitting there like, oh shit, like, wait a minute, this is what y'all felt like every year, you know, not winning, not doing that shit.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel like if you are 40, I feel like if you are under 30 years old, you have been, like, think about all the great athletes we've seen. We've seen Michael Jordan. We've seen LeBron James. We've seen Venus Williams. We've seen Tiger Woods. We've seen Tom Brady. Like, we've seen so much greatness that we're probably never going to see again. And that's why I try not to take it for great. You know, I'm not a LeBron James fan, but also I have eyes, nigga. I know what I'm watching. I know we're not going to see a cat like this ever the fuck again. You're not going to see a Michael Jordan ever the fuck again. Like, they make winning look easy. Like, 10 trips in the finals, as much shit as I give LeBron, that shit ain't easy, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Being 6-0 in the finals ain't easy, nigga. All them damn Wimbledons that fucking Serena won, shit ain't easy. All them damn Green Coast Tiger got. I never thought I'd see a man go to 10 Super Bowls and win 7 of them shits. Like,
insanity. And lost two of them on, like, last second play. Lost three of them on last. Wait, no.
Three of them that he lost. In last second play. It's like, that's why when people say, oh, is Mahomes going to catch Brady? Nigga, no. Like, that just shit is just not going to happen again. Like, what's called? Mahomes has two, and he still got to get 5 more just to tie him. He got to be healthy. He got to have the right teammates. He got to hope that Andy stays as long as Bill Belichick comes. So I feel like we've been taking greatness for granted and at the same time acting like greatness is easy. Yeah. And I feel like that holds the whole ring culture conversation is wrapped up. Like, Michael Jordan did it. Yeah, Michael Jordan's a freak of fucking nation. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit is just is wild.
Yeah, and Andy Reid's been doing it for a while, so who knows how much longer he's going to do it before he finally just hangs it up. You feel me?
And look how the conversation changed on Andy Reid. I'm old enough, but this nigga losing 3 NFC Championship games in a row. This nigga can't manage the clock. He completely changed everything. You know what I'm saying?
Same with Dusty Baker, bro. We finally saw Dusty win one.
I was so damn happy. Like, fuck the ass. Actually, I don't have a problem with Dash Rose. I'm one of the few people who ain't got a problem with Dash Rose.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't give a fuck about what time in the head. You still got to hit the damn ball. I was so happy for Dusty Baker because he got shit for 0-3 and was not his fault. Ain't his fault Alex Gonzalez bobbled that goddamn ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a great coach. So I feel like just – and this has a lot to do more than with the internet and what I feel like ring culture. Like, when I saw somebody say – somebody went around and with a mic, and I think Times Square, it was like, is Paul George a Hall of Famer? No. Nigga, yes, he is. Do you know how they pick Basketball Hall of Fame? If you're a 5-time All-Star, you're going in. I know people laugh at him. Al Horford's going to the Hall of Fame.
100%.
100%. Al Horford's going to the Hall of Fame. Kyle Lowry might be going. There's a very low bar for the way that the Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA, Basketball Hall of Fame.
And you got, off his, when you combine his NBA career and his Villanova career, Kyle Lowry's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, cool. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I actually think D. Rose is still going in. I don't think he's going to be first or second, but MVP.
I don't think bro going.
I think he's going in, bro. MVP and Rookie of the Year, I can't see him missing.
I think bro going to be the first one to not go. I really do. Especially over the way the last few years has fizzled out, and like you see, like he's falling out of the room. Had he still been like the sixth man for the Knicks right now with them winning the way they winning?
Tibbs' fault.
Yeah, but man, I think Tibbs has got more players. Like his rotation is set. We know how Tibbs is, but I think D Rose gonna be the first one to not make it. As much as I hate to say it,
this is a good conversation. I'm actually gonna add this to the summer sessions right there. I want to hear the guys' opinion on this too. But we could grind on this all day. Let's wrap this up with our seeding predictions, man. I want to talk about the East and the Western Conference. There's 10 seeds. You got the sheets. I'll let you go first. With
how East to West. Feel.
Let's start off with the East. The East looks a little easier.
All right, we're gonna go. I'm gonna do my top six and I'm gonna do my playing teams because I feel like the top six is gonna be too much movement, a little bit, but not too much. My sixth seed, I got the Miami Heat. I got the Heat at 6. My 5 seed, I have the New York Knicks, the New York Knickerbockers. I know I had them finishing like 9th at the season. I was wrong, you know. The Cavs, I got them at 4. I got the Celtics slipping to 3. Like I said earlier, I do think the 76ers and Embiid will play well enough to get their 2 seed. And I think the Bucks are going to hold down that 1 seed. And, you know, they're going to keep that for the rest of the year. You know, there's 11 games left. So with the lead they have, they're not going to lose that. Now, for my play-in teams. My 7 seed, I got the Nets falling down to 7. I think Mikal Bridges has been playing lights out. But I think at the end of the day, you know, they're going to slide a little bit. So I got them going to 7. My 8 seed, it's the Chicago Bulls. I know they are currently 11th. I know I was just talking shit about them. But
they are currently 10 with a 2.5 game lead. over both Washington and Indiana. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah. Yeah. Okay. We'll see. My apologies. Well, yeah, like you said, like I did see that stat, number one defense in the league since number two since January.
So January 1st.
Pat came and, you know, really put a spark into the team. Zach said he's healthy and he's been playing lights out, you know, offensively. So when you have elite shot making and you can play defense, I think they can. They have the type of team that can go on a run. And by going on a run, I mean move up in the standings enough to make it be firmly in the play-in. My 19 was the Toronto Raptors, and 10 I got the Hawks stumbling down to 10. Like I said, I'm really not a fan of the Atlanta Hawks. Like even when they're playing well, it's one of those teams where it's like I don't really get my hopes up. And it's crazy because it's always been like that with the Atlanta Hawks, but it's even more so now. Where yeah. It's like, yeah, they doing this, and like don't get me wrong, they went on that Eastern Conference Finals run, but no, it's like all right. So it's gonna be time to put the rubber to the road with Trae Young because you know Quinn Snyder's coming in and the team has dedicated you know some years to him, so they're gonna try to let him build his I don't want to say program, just saying college, but his see what it is, right?
Yeah, and they are giving him full control to make roster decisions. Also, yeah, that was a good leverage play with him. I mean, my standings aren't that much different. I got I think Brooklyn has enough to hold on to the sixth seed. Miami is just something where they've been really mediocre. And I feel like Brooklyn's one of them teams where they're the same team they were before they signed KD. Good supporting cast. Real nice coached. I like what Mikal Bridges has been doing. And I feel like even though they're only a game over on Miami. Miami ain't done enough to really like go on a win streak. So that one game lead between them doesn't feel as close as it really is. So I'm going to put Brooklyn number six. I'm going to keep New York at five. I thought New York had a shot to get four, but that Jalen Brunson injury really fucked them up for a little bit. And then that loss last night to Minnesota after, 55-point game from Julius Randle. That was the basketball guy saying we will not allow this. Yeah. So I got the Knicks being at five. They're going to play Cleveland in the first round, which is going to be an electric series right there. So Cleveland is going to stay at four. I'm going to have Boston drop to three. Mm-hmm. I feel like Boston is going to drop to three. Don't like how they've been playing. 5-5 in their last 10. You know, they've lost like one game coming in. So I'm going to put Boston at three. Philly's going to finish at two, and I'm going to have Milwaukee as the number one seed. And as far as my play-in, the teams we have in the play-in right now, the Heat, the Hawks, the Raptors, and the Bulls, either teams I feel like are going to make it. I just feel like it's going to be in a different order. I think Miami stays at seven. I think the Bulls jump up to eight. The Bulls on their game high in Atlanta. They got a tough schedule, but they actually have played well against tough teams this year. The games that have been tough for them have been losing to bum-ass teams. And they had a very impressive road win against the Philadelphia 76ers last night. It's a home-and-home. They play the Sixers again. When you hear this, it'll be today. James Harden is probably not going to play with an Achilles tightening, I think they said. So I guess, you know, you really don't want to push that.
Oh, hell no.
You don't want to push that. Then they got a road trip, but they got a West Coast road trip, but I wouldn't consider Lakers and Clippers really tough games for them. Like they can win both of those games. So I feel like the Bulls are gonna finish at the AFC and they will play Miami, which a team that they swept this year. A team that for the first time since 2011 they swept this year. And you know the rules for that, the loser of that game will host the winner of 9 and 10. So it'll give the Bulls two opportunities to actually make it into the postseason. Nine. I think Toronto's going to stay with it. And I'm with you. Atlanta, man, they went all in for to beat us. And I think both of us said when they got DeJounte, we both were like, let's pump the brakes. And a lot of people had them in their top fours. And we both was like, DeJounte Murray don't move the needle for me. And me personally, I'm not really a Trae Young fan. I'm not at all. And he has just not proven that much to me. And like you said, I feel like he's on a very, very tight rope right now. So I think they're going to drop the 10. So that's what I got for the East.
Yeah. All right. Let's take it out West. Same thing with my top six in the West. Not too much moving. Just a little bit. My number six team, I got the Warriors. Got the Warriors at six. My five, I got the Clippers. My four seed, I know when KD's return is up in the air, you know, before the season, regular season ends. But I do have KD and the Suns at my four seed. I got Memphis. They're going to slide down one slot to that three seed, even with Ja returning. I think three seed is where they're going to be at. I like the Sacramento Kings right now. in terms of regular season play and the way they've been playing. So I got them, you know, they hot right now. I got them jumping to the number two seed. And I got, like I said, Denver's going to hold on to that one seed. Now, 7 through 10. Now, this all depends on LeBron. LeBron come back before the regular season is over. I got the Lakers at the 7th seed.
A little birdie told me don't count on it. Don't fall for that shit that Darvin Ham is telling you. A little birdie telling me don't count on it.
Yeah, I think it's more so 50-50, but I don't expect him to come back. I expect him to try to make the playoffs, and then LeBron will try to play.
Which shouldn't matter, Anthony Davis.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But hell, LeBron comes back. Let's say they got like 11 games left. Say he come back for 5 or 6 of them. I got the Lakers at the 7th seed. I got Mavs at 8. I got Minnesota at 9. And I got OKC at 10. I think they hold on to end up in the play-in. Now, LeBron don't come back. It's a small flip. I got the Mavs at 7, T-Wolves at 8, Lakers at 9, and I still got OKC as my number 10 seed.
Yeah, man. I'm going to say 6. I'm going to say the Warriors will find a way to stay at 6. Number 5, actually, we have Phoenix. I think Phoenix is going to drop to 5. I really, really love how the Clippers are playing right now. I feel like Ty Lue has finally figured out what rotations to use. You know, he had to go through that phase of figuring out how to use Russell Westbrook. And like we all said, he shouldn't be playing in the fourth quarter, which Russ really hasn't been playing in the fourth quarter. He's been starting, but he has been finishing the game. It's been a lot of Eric Gordon, a lot of T-Man. Kawhi has been Kawhi for like, and like for the last 20 games. No, Kawhi has been Kawhi has been like since like Christmas, nigga. Like Kawhi has been Kawhi for a minute. He's looking good. He's playing back-to-backs. He's playing like 38 minutes a game. He's doing well. I think the Clippers are gonna move up to the fourth seed, and I think that Phoenix Clippers series, which I cannot wait to cover, that is gonna be fun. Because I have yet to see KD play. With KD, they're not expecting him back. Really to the first round of playoffs, and even then they say he could miss a couple games in the first round of playoffs. So I'm gonna have Phoenix at 5. I'm gonna have Clippers at 4. So the Clippers would have home court in that series. I'm with you. I'm actually going to keep Sacramento at 3. And the reason I'm going to keep Sacramento at 3 is Memphis, they've been playing well even without Ja. 1-3 in a row. Now, Ja can come back on Wednesday, but they are not expecting him to. He's still trying to, catch up. And he's been vocal lately about, being dedicated to his, rehab or whatever the fuck that Adam Silver got him doing. But that's a whole nother debate. I think Sacramento's going to stay at 3. I think Memphis is going to stay at 2. And I think Denver's going to stay at 1. Now, like you said, the play-in is where it gets tricky. I think that the Dallas Mavericks are going to stay at 7. I think the Lakers, with LeBron and without LeBron, are going to move up to 8. They're only a half game behind 8. I think the Anthony Edwards shit is really going to kill Minnesota. So I'm going to put the Lakers at the 8th spot. And then I think OKC and Utah stay where they are right now. The Pelicans should be the same themselves. The Blazers, 9 games under 500 with motherfucking Dame. Lost 6 in a row. And there's also rumors that the Blazers are going to shut Dame down for the rest of the year. So I think that's how it's going to finish up with Dallas, Lakers, T-Wolves. Hey, actually, no, let me take that back. Utah's going to fall out. Actually, no, I'm going to take that back. I'm looking at this. I'm going back and forth. Dallas is 7. Lakers at 8. Minnesota at 9. OKC at 10. I think OKC is going to stay there with Shea. Big game tonight. 2 big games with the Clippers and the OKC. OKC kind of low-key need to win both of those. And I think that's how it's going to be. And I think both conference play-ins are going to be very, very entertaining. So that's how I got that finishing up.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the basketball has definitely kicked up since the All-Star break, and I think we're going to get some really good basketball to close out the season.
Definitely, y'all, man. We're going to wrap this episode up. Another edition of Bald on Lie. We are very, very close to playoff time here, man. I'm really looking forward to talking about all of that. I know y'all are really looking forward to us talking about that as well. If you're watching this on the video and you see me coughing, I apologize, man. It happens. So I'm over here coughing up alone, but we're trying to get through this. So you know, follow me on Twitter at Barbershare Scott. You know to follow Dante at October's on Tay. Follow the Barbershare Network at BarbershareNet. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/BarbershareNetwork. Keep sending your submissions. We're still looking for talent. We got a couple really good submissions. We're going to keep this up for a couple weeks. So keep sending DM at BarbersChairNet for more details, man. So I'll let y'all next week, man. We out.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.